the three questions. Brent started off in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Paul's using an illustration of his physical life, with which we can all relate. Paul didn't know his name until his mother and dad taught him. And Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel, studied all his life. Every one of us here can relate to that. When we were young, we used to have to have our own way all the time. And we wanted our own toys. Mine, 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 mine. And so we can relate to growing up. I'm sure if you're thinking, you realize that some people never grow up physically, mentally, physically, in the secular world. All their life, everything that they do is self-centered. Every role that they try to play in life has their own personal satisfaction as the central motivation factor in it. So when we grow up physically in this secular world as someone that's lost, we learn how to cope. We learn how to make all the right moves and say all the right things. And then eventually we become a self-centered, worldly individual who knows how to manipulate and use other people. We grow up. But Paul is talking about something that he wants us to understand. He's relating what happened to us physically to what is supposed to happen to us spiritually. Now, keep your finger there, if you will, and let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. Now, I know you've heard these before. They're some of my favorite scriptures. But beginning in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, and remembering what I just read in 1 Corinthians 13 and 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." Well, when you were first born, you didn't know your own name. And it's been a long time you've been on this planet. You've learned a lot. Why? Because it was beneficial to you in this life. You couldn't go on just crying and wanting your own toys and nobody else to play with them. You couldn't just go through life expecting everybody to take care of you. You had to learn to fend for yourself. You had to grow up from the time you were a newborn physical babe. Now take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Brent read, "But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." That's what the word's for. It reveals itself to you. That's the purpose of it. That's how you grow up. You want to know what a mature Christian is? And a few short words. "If so be ye have tasted, experienced that the Lord is gracious." Every time someone comes to this church that's a newborn babe in Christ, I pray more for them and I concentrate more on them than I do the rest of the full-grown sheep. And those of you that are full-grown sheep, you should understand that. You say, "Well, you need to grow up." Because those little tiny lambs that are newborn, you never know which way they're going to go. I probably prayed more about Chili than I have anybody in a long time. Because Chili, when he came here, needed to understand something. You need to understand how gracious the Lord is. And I've watched him study the Word, and I've watched him see how gracious the Lord is, and he's still learning, and so am I. You never get to the bottom of God's grace. But once you begin to taste his graciousness, and when Brent gave this devotional, he's tasting it. He understands he's an unprofitable servant, a not needed servant. And he understands that in studying God's Word, he gets more out of it than all the people that listen to it. I thank God for Brent. A lot of you, the young men in this church, you probably think I'm just some old, cold, hard crony up here, and I don't care. But I care a lot more than you know. And I concentrate more on the young people than I do on you old fogies out there that have been in God's church for a long time, and you've already experienced Christian growth, and you're understanding this. So I don't concentrate on you. I love you, and I care for you, and I pray for you. But my concentration is on the lambs, because the lambs are the ones that are going to be the leaders of the future if the Lord doesn't come back. I think I can truly say from having listened to Chili's devotionals and Brent's, they're tasting that the Lord is gracious. I think I can say something else about them. I remember we're talking about When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. So he grew up physically, but Paul also grew up spiritually. Now look at 1 Peter 2 and 4. To whom coming? How many times have I told you, and I apologize for the repetition, but there's a point that needs to be made here, and it needs to be understood completely. To whom coming does not mean when you first came for salvation, because in verse 2 it says as newborn babes. It means to keep on coming. I can tell something about Brent. From the time I first met him, he keeps on coming to the Lord. And he's learning himself. He's learning he has his ups and downs. He's learning he has his sinful days, and somewhere halfway in between, and once in a while he gets through the day and he says, well, this might have been pretty good today. To whom coming? The same thing is true with children. They come back, and you can see the change in them. The rest of you in the church here that are Christians that have gone through those changes, you ought to be thanking God for it, and you ought to be encouraging them. Michael has come a long way, and he's studying God's Word. Danny, a young man who's studying God's Word. We've got a bunch of young people here. And Daryl Berry. Well, I wanted to talk about Daryl Berry. I just don't know. I'm going to have to concentrate more and more on Daryl Berry on this Wednesday night. To whom coming? As unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Brent mentioned the church two or three times. A lot of people say, well, you know, it's Jesus that's important. It's Jesus that's important. Well, that's very true, but the church is his local body. And when God established the church, he intended for each local church to have an outreach in the community. And each one was supposed to live for him, and the transitional phases in their life will catch the attention of the community. Chili Cole, don't you think people watch him out in the community? This ragtail baboon used to run around, and people go look at him and say there's been a change. Now, sometimes maybe there's not as much of a change as Chili would like, but there's a change. And when it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, that's as you are going, make disciples. If God's original plan had been carried out in the church, and each local church was instrumental in the formation of another, and they had had a common fellowship together and a common war against the devil, then you would have seen a system today that is perfect as far as God is concerned, because he instituted it, where each local church would be teaching the same thing, preaching the same thing, carrying out the same commission, and people could see the tremendous change in their lives. But the devil is a master. So if there are two things that are very important to God, number one, the family of God and saved souls, and number two, the church, local visible assembly, the devil is going to attack both. And the first thing he does is to try to stop the Christian living in our churches so that people can see him at work in the lives of people. And he substitutes for it a cheap, pencil-y way of evangelism where you go there, you take them down a Roman road, you get them saved, and praise God they're saved, and then let's put that up on the bulletin board, and let's rejoice over it, but let's just not concentrate too heavily on the second part of the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Well, in verse 5 it says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, you take Sister Barnes, you take Sister George, you take some of these people that have been here in this church and have served all this year, and there's a lot more than just those two, but they're the ones that realize they're lively stones, and they've let God build them into a spiritual house, and they realize the importance of worshiping God the way he wants to be worshiped, where he wants to be worshiped, and you can see it by their faithful attendance. Most people, many preachers, not most, but many preachers are mainly interested in how many people we had in Sunday school and how many people we had for preaching, and is the church growing rapidly in numbers. We have grown very slowly over the 25 years that I've been here, but nevertheless we have grown. I am not interested in numbers. I'm interested in the change in individuals after they receive Christ. And many times with these superficial type of evangelism where they just simply ask Jesus into their heart, and there never is any repentance, and they make professions of faith because they know mom and dad wants them to, they know their grandparents want them to, and then the grandparents and the parents can't understand why they don't continue in church. Many times it's because they never were saved in the first place. What I want to see is evidence of their salvation so I can know, as a man who is supposed to be their pastor, that they are following God. So these are the things that are important. Now let's go back to where we were in 1 Corinthians 13. And forgive me if I skip around here a while, because I just kind of formulated this as Brent was talking. I really appreciate that devotional. It was an excellent devotional. I'm still using that box you made of looking inside the box. Preachers say, where you get that? I say, well, I was just out in the woods praying, and all of a sudden it came to me. No, I don't tell them that. I tell them, I'm probably going to give them your name and address so they can write material. Now, let's take a look at what it says next. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, and when I became a man, I put away childish things. Verse 12, for now we see darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Okay, keep your finger there, and let's go back to the book of John. The book of John. Man, I'm loving doing this. I feel terrible, but I would much rather stand up here and just preach like this. You say, well, we like that too. Let me tell you something. You don't retain a lot of it. And I'm a man who's called of God to preach so that you can retain it. That's the only reason I use a screen. It's not to be flashy at all. Take a look at John 1 and 14. I'll give you time to get there. Anna Mae, did you get that income tax thing there? They told me you sat there, but I didn't know whether they were telling me the truth or not. You know how dead it is. So, well, I told them, you know how I discovered you, that was your place? There's chewing gum stuck all underneath the pew. Okay. Now, here we go, John 1:14. And the Word, notice that's capitalized, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is constantly referred to as the Word. Why is he referred to as the Word? That's the point he was making in John 6:62-63, and I won't turn to it because it's one of my favorite scriptures, and it's the baseline. It's the foundation of everything that Jesus taught. Jesus said, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? He said, I don't have to be here. Remember, he's the Word, and he left this book. He said, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Remember, he's saying, I don't have to be here. I'm leaving you something. He said, what an if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. You say, well, that's what saves you. Yeah, but it's also the same Spirit that teaches you through this book that he left here. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. That's why if churches get involved in fleshly activities and try to attract and keep members through those activities, it won't be a lasting thing. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing, neither in salvation or in the maintenance of salvation or in the teaching of those who are saved. We're talking about spiritual growth, and that's what Brent was talking about this morning. He said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. Now let's go back to where we were in 1 Corinthians and chapter 13 and verses 11 and 12. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, and then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. The world is full of people who are saved, and they are not growing spiritually. Most of them are, of course, outside of God's churches. But there are many people who are on scriptural church rolls that are not growing. They are not changing. They have the same attitude toward life, toward themselves, and toward others almost within 3 days after they were saved. They never grow spiritually. They never have any inner peace. And they are continually renting their frustrations on other people. And nobody can change it except them, but they just don't want to change. Now, then shall I know even as also I am known. What's going to happen when they end up at the judgment seat of Christ? Pretty plain. Then for the first time, they're going to know how the Lord looked upon them. They're going to know how they were known. They're going to know how the Lord looked at them. And they're going to be able to see that the way they looked at themselves and the way the Lord looked at them were two entirely different things. You say, well, what can I do? Grow up. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You say, well, no. Church is just a place you go and hear this and hear that. No. Church is a place where you go, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Church is down here for you to learn, and church is down here for myself and you to grow. And as Brent said, he's learned an awful lot since he started getting these devotionals. You always do. Because you have to dig it out, and you say, well, my goodness gracious, that's the truth. And God uses his teachers to teach others. But God also teaches teachers while they're teaching others. And you learn a whole lot more when you're having to study to teach than if you just get here and listen to it. Now, he said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. My point is, why wait till you get to the judgment seat of Christ to find out about yourself? It's too late to do anything about it, ain't it? He knows you. You don't know yourself. You may think you do. But he knows you and knows all about you. He knows what's wrong in your thought process, and he wants to change it. But most people come up to a point where they say, well, I don't need change anymore. Well, I'm 67 years old, and the older I get, the more things I see in my life that need to be changed. That's one of the benefits I have in studying God's Word. You don't know how thankful I am to God that he called me into the ministry. Because once he called me into the ministry and I was responsible for teaching people the Word of God, once that happened, I had to study the Word of God. And when I did, it transformed and changed me. You say, well, you haven't changed much. I know if you ever get to thinking like you've changed enough, then you're in trouble. All right. Now, with all that in mind, then shall I know even as also I am known. Here's the good news. You don't have to wait to find out what you like before you get there. Till you get there, I should say. Keep your finger there. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And I'll give you time to get there. Now, this is some really good news. You see, salvation is not the only good news in the Bible. That's what the gospel means, good news. But there's lots of other good news. The good news is you can have a reward in heaven. You can have great joy and happiness in heaven. And you can enjoy this life in the midst of trial and tribulation while you're waiting. Remember what I said about Jesus being the Word, the living Word? Remember what I said about him leaving the Word here? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Remember how we went over as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted, the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices to God by Jesus Christ. Now take a look at Hebrews 4 and 12. And remember what we're talking about. For now we see through a glass. That glass is the Bible. But then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Why wait? Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. You see, what Brent and Chili and myself and Danny and all of you are supposed to be doing is to dividing between which part of us is soul and which part of us is spirit and which part of us is flesh. Because if we begin to learn that the Spirit continually leads us in the right direction, and we feed the Spirit through this book, then when our soul turns to our spirit because of the quickening power of this book and illuminating power of this book and the spiritual growth we've experienced, our soul is much more likely to follow the Spirit. Brent mentioned the fact that if he didn't come to church, if he didn't hear the Word of God, he felt empty inside. Well, Brent, you were empty inside, because every time we withdraw ourselves, even for a short period of time, from the Word of God, I get just as carnal as a rattlesnake. And we have to be fed continually. You say, well, that doesn't seem fair to me. It's the way God made it. It's the way God designed it. It's the way God programmed it. And whatever God did, I discerned. Hey, that's for me. So if you tear yourself away from the Word of God and you're not interested in it, you don't study it, then there isn't a continual change in your life. Is there anyone here who can honestly say, I have reached the plateau of Christian growth and I don't need to grow anymore? Knowing all of you and loving you, I don't believe there's anybody here that can say that. If you can, you don't belong in this church. You ought to go down the street to some of the other churches, because this is a church where God means for the pastor and everybody else to see their faults and to change. Now, he says back here, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Well, why wait? Now, take a look at the last of verse 12. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why do you preach, Tom McElmurray? Is it for money? Is it for attention? Is it for recognition? Is it for praise? Well, Tom McElmurray is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Why do you make all those videos? Do you like the attention, recognition you get from it? Why do you do this? Why do you go to the hospital to see somebody? Do you really care for them? Or are you just going down there to fill a square on a block? You see, that's what the Word of God is for. You say, well, what's this business about love? Well, keep your finger there in Hebrews 5, 4 and 12. And let's jump back to where we started, 1 Corinthians 13 and 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity means giving love, expecting nothing in return. That's what charity is. You go over here to Goodwill, you take your stuff over there, you leave it, they don't pay you any money, you don't get a kickback from it, unless you want to put it on your taxes, and they didn't used to do that, but now they do. That's giving something, expecting nothing in return. Is there anyone here who's reached that point in life where you can do something for somebody and you don't expect something in return for it? You say, well, they could at least thank me. See, you did expect something in return. And Jesus died for all men, expecting no thanks in return. He did it because he loved them and because he cared for them. What's my point? Well, we can't love like Jesus. And Brent made that point. We can try. We can try. And at times, perhaps we can even do something not to benefit ourselves. Just give love, expecting nothing in return. But it's rare. And the only reason it's possible is because, like Brent said, he said, there's nothing good about me except Christ that lives inside. And he's right. And that's what I'm talking about. Then shall I know even as also I am known. Why wait? If you'll examine yourself and pray about it, the Lord's going to help you more than you'll ever realize. Oh, he won't help you the way you want. Oh, Lord, I don't understand this. I've had a bad day today. Lord, I'm doing this. I stop doing this. God's done it because you need it. You say, well, I don't think I need it. Well, you know more than God, don't you? Listen, there's people you have to go through a trial. And God knows just what you need, when you need it, why you need it, and how you need it. So don't complain about the thing, well, I've been doing this, I've been doing that. No, don't complain. God knows what he's doing. You and I don't. He's a teacher. You stay in this book, you'll grow. Get out of this book, you won't grow. Now remember what he said, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Take a look back over now at Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. When you come before that judgment seat, my friend, you know what's going to judge you? This book. This book is going to judge you because you're already saved. And it's going to judge you for how much you grew up spiritually. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows how much you've grown. He knows how much you need to grow. He's got a plan for your life. You say, well, I've got a plan for my life too, and here's the way I think God ought to do it. Good gravy. Haven't you learned that you don't know zip and God knows everything? God's got a plan for your life. He had a plan for my life. This wasn't what I planned. These lectures weren't what I planned. None of this I planned. It all just happened. Well, I thank God for that. If my plan had been accepted, heaven only knows what would have happened to me. I just thank God that he loves me and cares enough for me that he just opened these things and they just happened. That's how I know they're of God. Now, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's take a look at verse 11 and 12 again. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am ever known. I am known. Well, Kenneth been a member here at this church a long time. Kenneth and I used to go back and forth to the seminary. We've watched the change in each other's lives. This may sound rather foolish and childish, but one small area that we've accomplished in, we can now lose at playing hearts with the girls on Saturday night and not get mad. You say, well, that's no big accomplishment. It was for Ken and I. And sometimes I'm sure he wants to kill me and I want to kill him, and we just smile and go on, and then I get over it and go on, and everything's all right. You say, well, that's not Christian growth. Yes, it is. Because, brother, when we first started playing, we had to win. And if we didn't win, something was wrong. And if we didn't win, it's because of me or it was because of Kenneth, and it was terrible. That's just a small example of what I'm talking about. But he talks about seeing through a glass darkly. Now, you come over here on Sundays, and some of you come on Wednesday night. I know some of you have poor health and you're not able. And you sit out there and you listen to all this. You're accountable for all this. What I'm accountable for is for teaching the truth, preaching the truth, singing the truth, and for applying it to my own life. Now, there's where my responsibility ends. I am not accountable to God for whether or not you apply it. I'm accountable whether I teach you how to apply it. But once I've done that, my responsibility toward you as being held accountable for it is finished. I only have to be concerned about, did I try to do what I preached? Well, we're talking about seeing through a glass darkly. Let's go over to James. Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians 13. A lot of stuff in there, isn't it, Brent? A lot of stuff in there. I'm sure you've probably looked at some of these scriptures as you went through here, because it's very enlightening, and it's what life's all about. So, what is this business of coming before the judgment seat of Christ, then shall I know even as also I am known? And what is this glass we're seeing through darkly? Well, a glass is the word of God. Now, when Paul wrote this, it was one of his first epistles. Years later, in a dungeon, he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. But Paul had to go through a lot of spiritual growth too. And Paul had to grow up spiritually. And the point he's making is, you need to grow up spiritually. How did Paul do it? Well, Paul had direct revelation from God. And Paul was in the Arabian desert, apparently, for some period of time with the Lord, even after the Lord's resurrection. But Paul had direct revelation from God. Now, if there had just been a book written where the complete revelation of God was available, if somebody had just written such a book, and I wonder if anybody did, then we could look and see ourselves and see the need for change in our lives. Well, fortunately, this book was completed. And it is finished. And here's what growing up from a babe to a mature Christian involves. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. How can we have churches where deacons and others in the church that have ruled the churches for years decide that they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and it's contrary to the word of God, and they do things that are terrible and non-loving toward the pastor and toward others in the church? I'm not just picking on deacons. It could be anybody in the church. How on earth can anybody who is in a church do that sort of thing if they have been hearing the word? The trouble in our churches, with me as a pastor and with you as the ones I'm preaching to, is that we hear it, but we don't do it. By this shall you know them, that they love the brethren. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. That's what this book is. It's a glass. It's a perfect law of liberty. It's a dark glass. That's the way James describes it. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forget what manner of man he was. Every Sunday morning you come over here and you listen. Some of you are able to come on Wednesday nights. Some of you are able to come on Sunday nights. You look at yourself. You see yourself. Hopefully you see yourself. Then you say, well, that's right. I feel real bad about that. And I'm not going to do it. Then the whole week you go out there and you forget that until you come back the next Sunday. And then you feel guilty again, like a little boy that keeps going to the whipping shed. He's relieved when he comes out. But then he never seems to make any real change in his life. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now, you want to know what growing up means, and what Paul was talking about? He put away childish things, what he was talking about when he said, then when I shall know even as I am also known. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. That's what this book is. It's the book that sets you free. Because it's the Word, living Word. You heard it and you were saved. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, don't quit. How many times have you heard me say, don't quit. Whatever you do, don't quit. Endure, endure, endure. How many times, Chili, have you... I said, Chili, don't you quit. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Because you've got to continue therein. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I'll be fighting his tongue till I die. If I could take all the things back that I've said in life that were hurtful to others and not beneficial to myself or to the work of God, I'd probably be the richest man on the earth if they'd give me one penny for each one of them. But it's a continual battle that goes on. Here's what pure religion is. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. Now I know that over at the nursing home, some of them might not meet this criteria. But many of those old people over there are abandoned. That's why we have two church services over there. Well, what's our intent and motive? Well, it's sure not to get money from them. It's sure not to get our name in the papers. It's sure not because we get put in the ABA bulletins about it. We just do it because we love them and we want to help them. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, you ought to be more concerned about your church members. Some of you, hopefully, are full-grown, mature children of God. And the work is more important than my babying or modestly coddling you and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. What does it mean to keep yourself unspotted from the world? For Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. That's the way you keep yourself unspotted from the world. Any one of you sitting here can take off and do what you want and quit serving God and get away with it. Oh, you may get zapped physically, you mentally, you may have physiological and psychological problems, but you're not going to hell. But I guarantee you, you'll feel a whole lot worse than empty. You'll begin to wonder if you're really saved, and you'll begin to wonder a lot of things. That's the penalty we pay because we won't grow up. Growing pains in physical life are hard, but spiritual growing pains are much more difficult. So I've used up my allotted time.